and spirit breathed, and that which was not manifest became the fire and thought of heaven, the Father God, the Mother God. 17. And when the fire and thought of heaven in union breathed, their Son, their only Son, was born. This Son is love whom men have called the Christ. 18. Men call the thought of heaven the holy breath. 19. And when the triune God breathed forth, lo, seven spirits stood before the throne. These are Elohim, creative spirits of the universe. 20. And these are they who said, let us make man, and in their image man was made. 21. In early ages of the world the dwellers in the farther east said, Tau is the name of universal breath. And in the ancient books we read, 22. No manifesting form has Tau great, and yet he made and keeps the heavens and earth. 23. No passion has our Tau great, and yet he causes sun and moon and all the stars to rise and set. 13. 24. No name has Tau great, and yet he makes all things to grow, he brings in season both the seed time and the harvest time. 25. And Tau great was one, the one became the two became the three evolved the seven, which filled the universe with manifests. 26. And Tau great gives unto all, the evil and the good, the rain, the dew, the sunshine and the flowers, from his rich stores he feeds them all. 27. And in the same old book we read of man. He has a spirit knit to Tau great, a soul which lives within the seven breaths of Tau great, a body of desires that springs up from the soil of flesh. 28. Now spirit loves the pure, the good, the true, the body of desires extols the selfish self, the soul becomes the battleground between the two. 29. And blessed is the man whose spirit is triumphant and whose lower self is purified, whose soul is cleansed, becoming fit to be the council chamber of the manifests of Tau great. 30. Thus closed the lesson of Salem. Chapter 10. Elihu's lessons. The Brahmic religion. Life of Abram. Jewish sacred books. The Persian religion. 1. Elihu taught, he said, in ancient times a people in the east were worshippers of God, the one, whom they called Brahm. 2. Their laws were just, they lived in peace, they saw the light within, they walked in wisdom's ways. 3. But priests with carnal aims arose, who changed the laws to suit the carnal mind, bound heavy burdens on the poor, and scorned the rules of right, and so the Brahms became corrupt. 4. But in the darkness of the age a few great masters stood unmoved, they loved the name of Brahm, they were great beacon lights before the world. 5. And they preserved inviolate the wisdom of their holy Brahm, and you may read this wisdom in their sacred books. 6. And in Chaldea, Brahm was known. A pious Brahm named Terah lived in Ur. His son was so devoted to the Brahmic faith that he was called Abraham, and he was set apart to be the father of the Hebrew race. 7. Now, Terah took his wife and sons and all his flocks and herds to Haran in the west. Here Terah died. 8. And Abram took the flocks and herds, and with his kindred journeyed farther west. 9. And when he reached the oaks of Moreh in the land of Canaan, he pitched his tents and there abode. 10. A famine swept the land and Abram took his kindred and his flocks and herds and came to Egypt, and in these fertile plains of Zoan pitched his tent, and here abode. 11. And men still mark the place where Abram lived across the plain. 12. You ask why Abram came to Egypt land? This is the cradle land of the initiate, all secret things belong to Egypt land, and this is why the masters come. 13. In Zoan Abram taught his science of the stars, and in that sacred temple over there he learned the wisdom of the wise. 14. And when his lessons all were learned, he took his kindred and his flocks and herds and journeyed back to Canaan, and in the plains of Moreh pitched his tent, and there he lived, and there he died. 15. And records of his life and works and of his sons, and of the tribes of Israel, are well preserved in Jewish sacred books. 16. In Persia Brahm was known, and feared. Men saw him as the one, the causeless cause of all that is, and he was sacred unto them, as Tao to the dwellers of the Farther East. 17. The people lived in peace, and justice ruled. 18. But, as in other lands, in Persia priests arose imbued with self and self-desires, who outraged force, intelligence and love. 19. Religion grew corrupt, and birds and beasts and creeping things were set apart as gods. 20. In course of time a lofty soul, whom men called Zarathustra, came in flesh. 21. He saw the causeless spirit, high and lifted up, he saw the weakness of all man-appointed gods. 22. He spoke and all of Persia heard, and when he said, one God, one people and one shrine, the altars of the idols fell, and Persia was redeemed. 23. But men must see their gods with human eyes, and Zarathustra said, 24. The greatest of the spirits standing near the throne is the Ahura Mazda, who manifests in brightness of the sun. 25. And all the people saw Ahura Mazda in the sun, and they fell down and worshipped him in temples of the sun. 26. And Persia is the Magian land where live the priests who saw the star arise to mark the place where Mary's son was born, and were the first to greet him as the Prince of Peace. 27. The precepts and the laws of Zarathustra are preserved in the Avesta, which you can read and make your own. 28. But you must know that words are naught till they are made alive, until the lessons they contain become a part of head and heart. 29. Now truth is one, but no one knows the truth until he is the truth. It is recorded in an ancient book. 15. 30. Truth is the leavening power of God, it can transmute the all of life into itself, and when the all of life is truth, then man is truth. Chapter 11. Elihu's Lessons, Buddhism and the Precepts of Buddha. The Mysteries of Egypt. 1. Again Elihu taught, he said, the Indian priests became corrupt, Brahm was forgotten in the streets, the rights of men were trampled in the dust. 2. And then a mighty master came, a Buddha of enlightenment, who turned away from wealth and all the honors of the world, and found the silence in the quiet groves and caves, and he was blessed. 3. He preached a gospel of the higher life, and taught man how to honor man. 4. He had no doctrine of the gods to teach, he just knew man, and so his creed was justice, love and righteousness. 5. I quote for you a few of many of the helpful words which Buddha spoke. 6. Hate is a cruel word. If men hate you, regard it not, and you can turn the hate of men to love and mercy and goodwill, and mercy is as large as all the heavens. 7. And there is good enough for all. With good destroy the bad, with generous deeds make avarice ashamed, with truth make straight the crooked lines that terror draws. For error is but truth distorted, gone astray. 8. And pain will follow him who speaks or acts with evil thoughts, as does the wheel the foot of him who draws the cart. 9. He is a greater man who conquers self than he who kills 1,000 men in war. 10. He is the noble man who is himself what he believes what other men should be. 11. Return to him who does you wrong your purest love, and he will cease from doing wrong, for love will purify the heart of him who is beloved as truly as it purifies the heart of him who loves. 12. The words of Buddha are recorded in the Indian sacred books, attend to them, for they are part of the instructions of the holy breath. 13. The land of Egypt is the land of secret things. 14. The mysteries of the ages lie lockbound in our temples and our shrines. 15. The masters of all times and climes come here to learn, and when your sons have grown to manhood they will finish all their studies in Egyptian schools. 16. But I have said enough. Tomorrow at the rising of the sun we meet again. 16. Chapter 12. Salem's Lessons. Prayer, Elihu's Concluding Lessons, sums up the 3 years' course of study. The pupils return to their homes. 1. Now, when the morning sun rose, the masters and their pupils all were in the sacred grove. 2. Salome was the first to speak. She said, "Behold the sun. It manifests the power of God who speaks to us through sun and moon and stars." 3. Through mountain, hill and vale, through flower, and plant and tree. 4. God sings for us through bird, and harpsichord, and human voice. He speaks to us through wind and rain and thunder roll. Why should we not bow down and worship at his feet? 5. God speaks to hearts apart, and hearts apart must speak to him, and this is prayer. 6. It is not prayer to shout at God, to stand, or sit, or kneel and tell him all about the sins of men. 7. It is not prayer to tell the Holy One how great he is, how good he is, how strong and how compassionate. 8. God is not man to be bought up by praise of man. 9. Prayer is the ardent wish that every way of life be light, that every act be crowned with good, that every living thing be prospered by our ministry. 10. A noble deed, a helpful word is prayer, a fervent, an effectual prayer. 11. The fount of prayer is in the heart, by thought, not words. The heart is carried up to God, where it is blessed, then let us pray. 12. They prayed, but not a word was said. But in that holy silence every heart was blessed. 13. And then Elihu spoke. He said to Mary and Elizabeth, "Our words are said, you need not tarry longer here. The call has come, the way is clear, you may return unto your native land." 14. A mighty work is given you to do, you shall direct the minds that will direct the world. 15. Your sons are set apart to lead men up to righteous thoughts, and words, and deeds. 16. To make men know the sinfulness of sin, to lead them from the adoration of the lower self, and all elusive things, and make them conscious of the self that lives with Christ in God. 17. In preparation for their work your sons must walk in many thorny paths. 18. Fierce trials and temptations they will meet, like other men, their loads will not be light, and they will weary be, and faint. 19. And they will know the pangs of hunger and of thirst, and without cause they will be mocked, imprisoned, scourged. 17. 20. To many countries they will go, and at the feet of many masters they will sit, for they must learn like other men. 21. But we have said enough. The blessings of the three and of the seven, who stand before the throne, will surely rest upon you evermore. 22. Thus closed the lessons of Elihu and Salome. 3 years they taught their pupils in the sacred grove, and if their lessons all were written in a book, lo, it would be a mighty book. Of what they said we have the sum. 23. Now, Mary, Joseph and Elizabeth with Jesus and his harbinger, set forth upon their homeward way. They went not by Jerusalem, for Archelaus reigned. 24. They journeyed by the Bitter Sea, and when they reached Engedi Hills they rested in the home of Joshua, a near of kin, and here Elizabeth and John abode. 25. But Joseph, Mary and their son went by the Jordan way, and after certain days they reached their home in Nazareth. 18. Section 4. Dallas. Childhood and Early Education of John the Harbinger. Chapter 13. Elizabeth in Engedi, teaches her son. John becomes the pupil of Matthew, who reveals to him the meaning of sin and the law of forgiveness. 1. Elizabeth was blessed. She spent her time with John, and gave to him the lessons that Elihu and Salome had given her. 2. And John delighted in the wildness of his home and in the lessons that he learned. 3. Now in the hills were many caves. The cave of David was Anir in which the hermit of Engedi lived. 4. This hermit was Methano, priest of Egypt, master from the temple of Saqqara. 5. When John was 7 years of age Methano took him to the wilderness and in the cave of David they abode. 6. Methano taught, and John was thrilled with what the master said, and day by day Methano opened up to him the mysteries of life. 7. John loved the wilderness. He loved his master and his simple fare. Their food was fruits and nuts, wild honey and the carob bread. 8. Matthew was an Israelite, and he attended all the Jewish feasts. 9. When John was 9 years old, Matthew took him to a great feast in Jerusalem. 10. The wicked Archelaus had been deposed and exiled to a distant land because of selfishness and cruelty, and John was not afraid. 11. John was delighted with his visit to Jerusalem. Matthew told him all about the service of the Jews, the meaning of their rites. 12. John could not understand how sin could be forgiven by killing animals and birds and burning them before the Lord. 13. Matthew said, "The God of heaven and earth does not require sacrifice." This custom with its cruel rites was borrowed from the idol worshippers of other lands. 14. No sin was ever blotted out by sacrifice of animal, of bird, or man. 15. Sin is the rushing forth of man into fens of wickedness. If one would get away from sin, he must retrace his steps, and find his way out of the fens of wickedness. 16. Return and purify your hearts by love and righteousness, and you shall be forgiven. 17. This is the burden of the message that the harbinger shall bring to men. 18. What is forgiveness? John inquired. 19. Matthew said, "It is the paying up of debts. A man who wrongs another man can never be forgiven until he rights the wrong." 20. The Vedas says that none can right the wrong but him who does the wrong. 21. John said, "If this be true, where is the power to forgive except the power that rests in man himself? Can man forgive himself?" 22. Matthew said, "The door is wide ajar. You see the way of man's return to right, and the forgiveness of his sins." Chapter 14. Matthew's lessons. The doctrine of universal law. The power of man to choose and to attain. The benefits of antagonisms. Ancient sacred books. The place of John and Jesus in the world's history. 1. Matthew and his pupil, John, were talking of the sacred books of olden times, and of the golden precepts they contained, and John exclaimed, 2. These golden precepts are sublime, what need have we of other sacred books? 3. Matthew said, "The spirits of the Holy One cause everything to come and go in proper time." 4. The sun has his own time to set, the moon to rise, to wax and wane, the stars to come and go, the rain to fall, the winds to blow. 5. The seed times and the harvest times to come, man to be born and man to die. 6. These mighty spirits cause the nations to be born, they rock them in their cradles, nurture them to greatest power, and when their tasks are done they wrap them in their winding sheets and lay them in their tombs. 7. Events are many in a nation's life, and in the life of man, that are not pleasant for the time, but in the end the truth appears. Whatever comes is for the best. 8. Man was created for a noble part, but he could not be made a free man filled with wisdom, truth and might. 9. If he were hedged about, confined in straits from which he could not pass, then he would be a toy, a mere machine. 10. Creative spirits gave to man a will, and so he has the power to choose. 11. He may attain the greatest heights, or sink to deepest depths. For what he wills to gain, he has the power to gain. 12. If he desires strength, he has the power to gain that strength, but he must overcome resistances to reach the goal. No strength is ever gained in idleness. 20. 13. So, in the whirl of many-sided conflicts, man is placed where he must strive to extricate himself. 14. In every conflict, man gains strength. With every conquest he attains to greater heights. With every day he finds new duties and new cares. 15. Man is not carried over dangerous pits, nor helped to overcome his foes. He is himself his army, and his sword and shield, and he is captain of his hosts. 16. The Holy Ones just light his way. Man never has been left without a beacon light to guide. 17. and he has ever had a lighted lamp in hand that he may see the dangerous rocks, the turbid streams and treacherous pits. 18. And so the holy ones have judged, when men have needed added light, a master soul has come to earth to give the light. 19. Before the Vedic days, the world had many sacred books to light the way, and when man needed greater light, the Vedas, the Avesta and the books of Tao Great appeared to show the way to greater heights. 20. And in the proper place, the Hebrew Bible, with its law, its prophets and its psalms, appeared for man's enlightenment. 21. But years have passed and men have need of greater light. 22. And now the day star from on high begins to shine, and Jesus is the flesh-made messenger to show that light to men. 23. And you, my pupil, you have been ordained to harbinger the coming day. 24. But you must keep the purity of heart you now possess, and you must light your lamp directly from the coals that burn upon the altar of the holy ones. 25. And then your lamp will be transmuted to a boundless flame, and you will be a living torch whose light will shine wherever man abides. 26. But in the ages yet to come, men will attain to greater heights, and lights still more intense will come. 27. And then, at last, a mighty master soul will come to earth to light the way up to the throne of perfect man. 21. Chapter 15. Death and Burial of Elizabeth. Mathan Knows Lessons. The Ministry of Death. The Mission of John. Institution of the Rite of Baptism. Mathan takes John to Egypt, and places him in the temple at Saqqara, where he remains 18 years. 1. When John was 12 years old, his mother died, and neighbors laid her body in a tomb among her kindred in the Hebron burying ground, and near to Zacharias' tomb. 2. And John was deeply grieved, he wept. Mathan said, "It is not well to weep because of death." 3. Death is no enemy of man, it is a friend who, when the work of life is done, just cuts the cord that binds the human boat to earth, that it may sail on smoother seas. 4. No language can describe a mother's worth, and yours was tried and true. But she was not called hence until her tasks were done. 5. The calls of death are always for the best, for we are solving problems there as well as here, and one is sure to find himself where he can solve his problems best. 6. It is but selfishness that makes one wish to call again to earth departed souls. 7. Then let your mother rest in peace. Just let her noble life be strength and inspiration unto you. 8. A crisis in your life has come, and you must have a clear conception of the work that you are called to do. 9. The sages of the ages call you harbinger. The prophets look to you and say, "He is Elijah come again." 10. Your mission here is that of harbinger, for you will go before Messiah's face to pave his way, and make the people ready to receive their king. 11. This readiness is purity of heart. None but the pure in heart can recognize the king. 12. To teach men to be pure in heart, you must yourself be pure in heart, and word, and deed. 13. In infancy the vow for you was made and you became a Nazarite. The razor shall not touch your face nor head, and you shall taste not wine nor fiery drinks. 14. Men need a pattern for their lives, they love to follow, not to lead. 15. The man who stands upon the corners of the paths and points the way, but does not go, is just a pointer, and a block of wood can do the same. 16. The teacher treads the way, on every span of ground he leaves his footprints clearly cut, which all can see and be assured that he, their master, went that way. 17. Men comprehend the inner life by what they see and do. They come to God through ceremonies and forms. 22. 18. And so when you would make men know that sins are washed away by purity in life, a rite symbolic may be introduced. 19. In water wash the bodies of the people who would turn away from sin and strive for purity in life. 20. This rite of cleansing is a preparation rite, and they who thus are cleansed comprise the church of purity. 21. And you shall say, you men of Israel, hear, reform and wash, become the sons of purity, and you shall be forgiven. 22. This rite of cleansing and this church are but symbolic of the cleansing of the soul by purity in life, and of the kingdom of the soul, which does not come from outward show, but is the church within. 23. Now, you may never point the way and tell the multitudes to do what you have never done, but you must go before and show the way. 24. You are to teach that men must wash, so you must lead the way, your body must be washed, symbolic of the cleansing of the soul. 25. John said, why need I wait? May I not go at once and wash? 26. Matthew said, 'Tis well, and then they went down to the Jordan ford, and east of Jericho, just where the hosts of Israel crossed when first they entered Canaan, they tarried for a time. 27. Matthew taught the harbinger, and he explained to him the inner meaning of the cleansing rite and how to wash himself and how to wash the multitude. 28. And in the river Jordan John was washed, then they returned unto the wilderness. 29. Now in Engedi's hills Matthew's work was done and he and John went down to Egypt. They rested not until they reached the temple of Saqqara in the valley of the Nile. 30. For many years Matthew was a master in this temple of the brotherhood, and when he told about the life of John and of his mission to the sons of men, the Hierophant with joy received the harbinger and he was called the brother Nazarite. 31. For 18 years John lived and wrought within these temple gates, and here he conquered self, became a mastermind and learned the duties of the harbinger. 23. Section V. He. Childhood and early education of Jesus. Chapter 16. The home of Joseph. Mary teaches her son. Jesus' grandparents give a feast in his honor. Jesus has a dream. His grandmother's interpretation. His birthday gift. The home of Joseph was on Marmion Way in Nazareth. Here Mary taught her son the lessons of Elihu and Salem. 2. And Jesus greatly loved the Vedic hymns and the Avesta, but more than all he loved to read the Psalms of David and the pungent words of Solomon. 3. The Jewish books of prophecy were his delight, and when he reached his 7th year he needed not the books to read, for he had fixed in memory every word. 4. Joachim and his wife, grandparents of child Jesus, made a feast in honor of the child, and all their near of kin were guests. 5. And Jesus stood before the guests and said, I had a dream, and in my dream I stood before a sea, upon a sandy beach. 6. The waves upon the sea were high, a storm was raging on the deep. 7. Someone gave me a wand. I took the wand and touched the sand, and every grain of sand became a living thing. The beach was all a mass of beauty and of song. 8. I touched the waters at my feet, and they were changed to trees, and flowers, and singing birds, and everything was praising God. 9. And someone spoke, I did not see the one who spoke, I heard the voice, which said, there is no death. 10. Grandmother Anna loved the child, she laid her hand on Jesus' head and said, I saw you stand beside the sea, I saw you touch the sand and waves, I saw them turn to living things and then I knew the meaning of the dream. 11. The sea of life rolls high, the storms are great. The multitude of men are idle, listless, waiting, like dead sand upon the beach. 12. Your wand is truth. With this you touch the multitudes, and every man becomes a messenger of holy light and life. 13. You touch the waves upon the sea of life, their turmoils cease, the very winds become a song of praise. 24. 14. There is no death, because the wand of truth can change the driest bones to living things, and bring the loveliest flowers from stagnant ponds, and turn the most discordant notes to harmony and praise. 15. Joachim said, my son, today you pass the 7th milestone of your way of life, for you are 7 years of age, and we will give to you, as a remembrance of this day, whatever you desire, choose that which will afford you most delight. 16. And Jesus said, I do not want a gift, for I am satisfied.